If you ain't got a couple fights every week at practice, you ain't practicing. Well,
I think we'll see the erosion start in 2024. What's going to happen in 25, 26, 27?
Now you got to find the guys that eat crayons during the week. Yeah. I mean.
Welcome to episode one of the 2024 Southern Football Report. Just a bunch of dudes talking football. Here we go. Introduce yourselves to our audience, ladies and gentlemen. We're broadcasting from the Flint Media Studios in downtown Thomasville and joined in the studio on episode one of the Southern Football Report. I've got a couple of gentlemen of world renown. We'll start with you over here to my left. The Rattlesnake Man himself, Brian Wynn. Brian, what's up?
What's up, man?
Man, what you think?
We ready to talk some football. That's what I'm ready to do.
All right, so we're also going to go ahead and declare our allegiances while we're, you know, so there's no questions when the folks are listening. They can say, oh, that dude's no Georgia fan or that dude's no Gator fan. So go ahead and declare your allegiance, Brian. You don't have to say, you know, absolute one way or the other. You can be in the middle if you want to.
Georgia, number one. Number two, Florida State.
That's rare. That's a rarity these days. On the other side, I've got the man himself. Kyle Shaver is probably the most informed Georgia fan within 200 miles. And also one of the biggest Braves fans I know. Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, tell us about it. I've already told him you're a Georgia fan, so a little bit or a lot?
A lot. We're going to go with a lot. Married into Georgia fan. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
So, go Dogs.
Yeah, she got it honest, didn't she?
Honest.
Yeah.
In the blood.
All right, we've got the intros out of the way. Let's dive right on in. We start each week with a review. Now, of course, this is episode one of the 2024 edition. We are recording in between week zero and week one. Of course, myself being a Florida State fan, my week zero wasn't so hot. But let's talk a little bit. Let's look a little bit. We're going to rewind into 2023. I want to get some opinions from you guys about 2023. I want to hear from you about week zero, and then we'll look forward into this weekend's games, week one. So, Kyle, why don't you go first? Tell us your thoughts from 2023.
2023, from a dog perspective, good until the very end.
Okay.
I guess that's a Seminole perspective, too. Good to the very end.
Yeah, almost the very end.
I think overall college football was an exciting year, but it was more the same, right? You had your same olds, your tried and true, you know, teams that have been in the playoff time and time again. Washington obviously was a new entrant, but I'm not sure how long they'll hang around.
Right. Especially this year.
Exactly. But you still had your Alabamas, you had your Michigans, Florida State was in the talk, Georgia was in the talk. You had the teams that are traditionally in the talk. They were there. So you had the same kind of thing, but excited about what the 12-team playoff might mean for 2024. It changes the game, and maybe week zero, the loss there doesn't mean quite as much as it would have in 2023.
Yeah, for sure. That is an absolute. But I got something on that for you that I think you're going to like. Speaking of the 12-team playoff, Brian Wynn, 2023, Michigan goes all the way, wins it all. Cheats their way all the way to a national championship. You being a dog fan and a Florida State fan, last year was a little weird there at the end. My dad's kind of split that way because I went to Florida State. My brother went to Georgia. So he's probably Florida State 1, Georgia 2. But how did it feel being a fan of both teams at the end of the season with both of them getting left out and cheating Michigan being left in?
We got cheated bad.
Yeah. Both teams, right?
And I've been waiting on that matchup for years.
Oh, gosh.
It was horrible.
I know. We're going to get it again, though, in a couple of years when those teams do home and home, if that sticks.
That'll be a hot ticket. Hot ticket in South Georgia. You won't be able to find one.
You're right.
One thing exciting from last year to me was the rise of Colorado, Coach Prime.
You like that?
I like the energy it brought to college football.
I agree with that. I appreciated the energy and somebody new, somebody else on the scene making waves. I feel like they got a little bit of extra that they didn't deserve as far as hype goes in the beginning of the season. You remember, you know, Shedeur Sanders was a Heisman candidate after week one.
Oh, yeah,
and
showing off the bling.
Yeah.
They were riding high. Then that plane landed pretty quick.
I think they ended up losing like six straight at the end of the year or something like that.
They had some exciting games. It wasn't like they were a boring team and getting blown out, really. I mean, there was a few maybe, but there was an exciting team to watch, really, with talent all over the place.
Yeah, it brought some excitement to an area that's normally been really boring for football.
That's a good point. That part of the country, like Colorado. Now, Colorado's traditionally, they've had success in the past, won a national championship in the early 90s. Yep. And, you know, it probably ain't going to win one out there, but they're playing in the Big 12 now.
Yeah.
Remember, because the Pac-12 is no more. Now they're in the Big 12. They actually, as we're recording this, they're getting ready to play their first game of the year against North Dakota State.
Now, they say never, never schedule a team with a Dakota in the name unless you just want to just scare yourself.
Or unless you're Georgia or Alabama. I mean.
But still, those teams are prepared. Always.
Yeah.
So Coach Prime and the Buffs better be ready.
Yeah.
For that one, for sure.
And last year, one thing to keep in mind, Georgia has only lost to Alabama, with the exception of Florida, in, 2020?
Yeah, the last regular season loss November 2020.
So, you know, that's strong.
They lost to Florida that year?
The last regular season loss. I don't know if it was Florida, but the last regular season loss was November of 2020. They won 39 in a row.
Yep.
Wow.
So that the only team that's really whooped us is Alabama.
Yeah. Well, Nick Saban on game day last week said, when he was picking his SEC champ, he said, somebody's got to prove they can beat Georgia. And while he's saying that, I'm like, but coach, when you were at Alabama, you proved that several times. If I'm not mistaken, Kirby's beaten him once.
The one that mattered.
Sure. Yeah. It was the most important one.
One of the ones that mattered. He lost some others that mattered too.
But I mean, you know, several times Georgia's been the better team.
Sure.
As evidenced by 2021, right?
And
right.
It's hard to whoop a man twice.
Yeah.
In the same year.
Oh, listen, rematches always favor the loser of the first one.
And, you know, specifically in the SEC this year, kind of jumping ahead of the 12-team playoff, we're going to see some rematches come out of the Big Ten, out of the SEC in the playoff.
Yep.
Potential rematches.
Yep.
And you've got even the ACC, you've got Clemson, Florida State's going to still be in the conversation. You know, you're going to potentially have some rematches that are going to show up in that, you know, 12-5 game.
Yeah.
Right. It could happen.
Or 8-9.
Right. 8-9 for sure.
Yeah. So previewing my 12, I've got a couple of rematches in there. And I don't know if the committee, if they think this way, I feel like they do, but they know that a rematch of, you know, Bama Ole Miss, that was a classic in the regular season. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
Well, that's going to draw audience. So let's put them at 8-9 or whatever it's going to be.
We all know it's about TV at the end of the day. A lot of it's about TV. No matter who you're a fan of, you know that the ratings matter. Money matters. You know, you want the best teams in there. And they certainly, that's what they're trying to do. But, I mean, they're also, they got to pay the bills.
Yeah, of course. All right, let's look ahead to this version, this 2024 season of college football, 12-team playoff. We've got helmet communications now, where the coaches are communicating with the quarterback or one particular player on defense. I saw that with my team in week zero. I don't know whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. Turns out the helmet comms went down in the second half, and so nothing really changed. So I don't know if that was affecting the game at all, or if nothing else, maybe just slowing it down. What do you see in this season, besides the playoff, as being a big change in college football that you think could actually change the game?
I think it's that. It's communication.
They got comms. Tablets on the sidelines now?
Yeah. I think another big thing is the schedule. The schedule for these teams. I mean, Texas is playing Michigan out of the Big Ten. And they've got Georgia, right?
Yeah.
So they've got some teams they've not traditionally had. These traditional blue blood teams that are playing each other. You know, I think the schedule's become important, and you've got marquee teams scheduling marquee teams, and that's going to tell the tale down the line.
Georgia's got a tough schedule.
Tough schedules.
But previewing my 12, they do have a tough schedule. I think they navigate it well enough. I don't want to give it away, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Georgia's schedule is really tough. Ole Miss's is really soft, by the way, to start the season.
Yes.
I mean, who do they play? Like Vanderbilt?
Yeah, they come out of the gate pretty slow.
Yeah, I mean they're
a chance to build some momentum for sure.
Preseason top 10, and they're going to win their first four games. They're going to be ranked number 5 or 6 or whoever, you know, wherever it is. But we don't know really what Ole Miss is till they play Georgia or something. Yeah,
thing you're talking about changing the game this year. The helmet communication, you could see it last week. You know, they're covering their ears. They're trying. And that stadium, I mean, obviously it was full, right? But it wasn't.
It's 50,000 people.
Right? It wasn't a full Auburn, right? It wasn't a full Jordan-Hare.
Yeah.
It wasn't a full game at Doak Campbell, right? You don't have 80,000 rabid fans hollering in that. And those soccer stadiums are spread out, right? These cathedrals of college football are straight up. They're closed in. It's loud. And, I read an article the other day about Carson Beck. He had to turn down Mike Bobo in his helmet.
Oh, I read that article, yeah.
Turn it down. And he said, well, I don't know when we get in the game. He might have to do that, right? He may have to.
Well, if it's Carson Beck, it's okay for him to turn down Mike Bobo. If it's DJU in Tallahassee, we need him listening.
All the way.
Well, sure. I mean, at this point, it's muscle memory, though.
Sure.
If you don't know what you're doing at this point, and that earpiece, that goes out the window, in my opinion. There's nothing that coach ought to, other than calling the play, and a good quarterback, a good center, which Georgia's, I hope, got one. It sounds like he might be a little injured. They should know what's going on. That's who runs the offense. Now, on defense, you might have to change some things up. But normally on defense, you got the types of guys that you can't, if they don't change themselves, and you ain't going to get them to change in their earpiece. You don't have a quarterback normally on defense. You got headhunters.
That's right.
And a headhunter ain't going, hey, you can't talk to them too much. It's like a shark.
They'll turn you off. Yeah.
Well, you worry, too, a little bit about, in a big game, right, if they're not hearing it correctly and the offense is hearing it, right? Say it's one of these games where, it's like a Tennessee-Georgia a few years ago. You're in Athens. If the offense is hearing it, the defense isn't hearing it, how is it going to affect the speed of how the defense is going to play, right? You can signal no matter how loud it is, right? And there's a whole sign-stealing scandal that happened in Michigan that we kind of briefly touched on. I wonder if some of these coaches are going to get frustrated with it. Some of the players get frustrated with the speed of it and just go back to signs.
I bet you in some cases they will. And I also think, to your point, Brian, if the quarterback doesn't already know how to read defenses, or if he doesn't already know the playbook, and you're in his ear for 15 or 20 seconds because you can talk to them all the way up to the 15-second mark on the play clock, is that just confusing him more? Like, is the coach giving him too much information?
Maybe second, third string, you might stay in the ear a little bit more.
Brand new
quarterback, but somebody like Carson, no.
Yeah.
No, he's been doing these plays before he got on the field for years.
That's right. That's the difference right now between a team like Georgia and my favorite team, Florida State. Carson's been in the system for 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
DJU just showed up 6 months ago.
Right. And then you got, Gunner right behind him.
Yeah.
He's been doing the same thing. There should be no issue. And then the third string as well. They
know it.
They know it.
Yeah. Exactly. That third string quarterback has probably been in Athens longer than DJU's been in Tallahassee. Right?
Let's see. Third string quarterback in Georgia right now is the transfer from Arizona State, Rashada.
Okay. Yeah. So he just got there.
But even still, I mean, he's been there as long as DJU has.
Right. And he's a third stringer.
And he's a third stringer, right? Even the freshman at Georgia's been there as long as some of these transfers. That's the transfer. We'll talk about that over the season, how transfers will impact these teams and how important they are or not important they are. But it's going to be an interesting year.
Well, I can tell you, as a Florida State fan, after week zero, I've definitely changed my outlook for my team this year. I went into the season thinking Florida State was a 10-2 team that could win the conference. You know, if things go right, maybe they're 11-1. Things go poorly, maybe they're 9-3. But they're probably going to be in the conversation for the conference championship. But seeing the way those transfers, which is what that team's made up of, and made up of some talented transfers. So, former five-star, defensive end from Georgia.
Sure.
Former five-star quarterback that's, journeyman from the – but, I mean, first game, it looked like they'd never played football before.
I think they'll be fine.
I think they'll improve.
I think Florida State, they started off rocky last year, beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who was the
LSU?
Well, they look good against LSU, but then Boston College.
Which is this week, right?
Yeah. This week.
Welcome to Tallahassee.
Yeah, Boston College. I mean, I think they'll I think we'll see the real team. And from listening to how practices went this week, it sounds like some of the players have stepped up and they really started leading and
shut down outside noise. No, they all the press no longer have the access they did. They kind of regrouped around themselves, which in some cases is good. In some cases, that doesn't turn out good. But real quick about Boston College, former Ware County quarterback who ran all over, and Ware County being a South Georgia team down here where we are on Highway 84, which is what we like to call one of the best corridors of high school football in the country. Former Ware County quarterback Thomas Castellanos ran all over Florida State's defense last year at Boston College. And I think we won that one like 31-29.
It was close. It was a close game. It was cold. It was a cold game,
yeah,
if I remember right.
It was. It was early in the early season, but it was cold.
It
was in Boston. If Florida
was it a Friday night? Maybe was it a weird
night? No, it was a day game. I believe it was a Saturday day game.
But I remember Castellanos had a great game. Obviously, you're seeing stuff on social media around South Georgia, like you said, because he is a product of South Georgia and the Highway 84 football. But we'll see this weekend.
I
saw something today that he was Castellanos is getting some kind of sleeper picks for breakout player of the year in the ACC potentially. And with Bill O'Brien as coach, you don't know. He's kind of a quarterback whisperer, right? And so we'll see what comes out of him.
Have the pieces around him.
Sure.
I think that'll be the biggest issue with them. I think he could be. Do you remember when Lamar Jackson was in college before he won the Heisman? So like year one when he was a starter at Louisville, he had like a 50% completion rate. But he was running all over the field. The next year, you might remember when Louisville beat Florida State 63-20.
Right.
And he had figured out where to throw the ball and gotten some pieces around him. And that was the year he won the Heisman. He went from like a 50% completion rate, just being a mobile quarterback that would run all over you, to a guy that knew where to throw the ball. And all of a sudden now he was just unstoppable. And I'm curious to see, Castellanos last year was not a great, accuracy guy. Has he taken another step under Bill O'Brien?
Sure. I think, too, you hear about this a lot in high school football. And game one to game two, the jump, right, and the improvement from game one to game two, Florida State has that opportunity. Boston College, they don't really know what they've got, right?
Sure.
They've got what they have in practice. But Florida State, they had a chance to see themselves in the mirror. They could look at themselves and say, we got to fix this. And they had some chances, right, to make some improvements. I certainly expect that. I expected maybe to be close early. As Florida State figures it out, they're at home. Certainly that's going to help, even with a stadium in construction, right?
Yeah.
But they're going to have the chance to at the end of the day, I think Florida State's the better team still, and will likely come out on top.
Yeah, I 100%.
You think so?
Yes, sir.
So you mentioned Florida State starting slow. 2 years ago, before they played LSU, last year they opened the season with LSU. The year before that, they went to New Orleans and played LSU. But it was week two.
Mm.
It was week two for Florida State. They opened in week zero versus Duquesne.
Ah, that's right.
Florida State comes into that having already played a game. That was LSU's first game of the year. And if you remember, that's the one that came down to the blocked extra point at the end of the game.
That's right. In the Superdome.
Yeah. So
Florida State's had two things always, the speed and aggressive for the ACC. They've always played, like I would say, SEC school, but they just wasn't in the same. If they come out and play ball, they
got the Jimmies and the Joes.
Yep. I just think, when you have transfer portals now and it takes a while to get meshed, and you got to figure out who your leaders are, who your headhunters are.
Well, you're giving me some hope. I mean, as a Florida State fan, I'm hoping that's what they're doing this week is figuring that out.
They should know who's going to turn the helmet sideways. And the coaches need to use those people, because that football is a violent sport, and they got to play violent football if they want
to
win.
To that point, the starting safety versus Georgia Tech was a transfer from Miami. He narrowly beat out a sophomore that was recruited and quote homegrown in Tallahassee, who has played really, really well, but has never been the starter yet, right? So he was the backup last year, flashed, looked like he was in prime position to be a starter this year. They bring in a transfer at in week two or week one. They went from week zero to week one and week two for Florida State. Guess who's the starter at safety? They've benched the transfer, and now you got your sophomore headhunter, Conrad Hussey. Just remember that name. Yep. They put the headhunter back at safety. He knows the system a little bit better. He's just as athletic as the transfer guy. So maybe they're finding the pieces.
Now you got to find the guys that eat crayons during the week. I mean, on defense, that's who you want.
Yeah. Well, to that point, there's plenty of crayon eaters on defense for both Georgia and Clemson.
Oh, 100%.
And so Clemson is you know, stuck in the Dabo, you know, we're going to do it our way, not adapting to the transfer portal. They're stuck in that mode. But defensively, Clemson has continued to play really, really well, even when the offense has taken a step back the last couple of years. I think that Georgia-Clemson game, now, Georgia has the advantage on offense, and defenses don't play each other. But I think Clemson's defense may, in the first half, stop Georgia a couple of times, especially with the potential for some running backs to be out.
Sure.
And, you know, it may go into halftime, and you're like, wait a second.
Yeah, the defensive front at Clemson's has been top tier since Dabo's been there. Certainly since the run in the playoff, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's their local product, right? Austin Bryant was one of those guys who is their defensive front has always been really strong, right? They can rush the pass, or they can stop the run, and I think they've got some more of those guys. I think a lot of them are unproven, right? You got a lot of talent. I was reading about a guy today, young guy I don't remember his name, but are hoping he's going to have the run-stopping ability there in Clemson, similar to like a Christian Wilkins was.
Right.
You know, some of those guys, what's his name, Lawrence?
I remember
his
first Dexter name. Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence. Similar to the run-stopping with the athleticism that they had too. So it'll be interesting to see what that first half looks like. And, you know, obviously Georgia's riding high going into that at 13.5-point favorite. Everybody's expecting, you know, everybody's going to cover, you know. And so it'll be interesting. Dabo will have them ready.
Yeah. I don't know if they got the horses to score on them, though.
They ain't got it.
They got the crayon eaters on defense, as Brian Wynn said. I don't think they got the horses on
Dabo's
offense.
Dabo's going to have to change his name to Jabbo if he's going to win. He's going to have to throw some jabs because Kirby and Bobo's got these boys tuned up.
I agree with
you. And the only thing that got me a little nervous about Georgia is their defensive line. Center on offense, I hear, is injured. I don't know if he's going to play or not. Maybe he's, you know, not at 100%. Center's most important position other than quarterback, as far as I'm concerned.
Spoken like a former offensive lineman over here.
Well, you know, they've got it. They get the line calls right? They get the line set up, and whether he's injured or not, it's going to be his first game starting.
Yeah.
That's just going to be an interesting transition for that. As talented as the guards and tackles are.
He touches the ball every time.
That's right.
Kind of like the catcher in baseball.
That's
like
right.
if you don't have a good, strong catcher that knows the game and can communicate with the rest of the infield, especially the pitchers, imagine for a moment that you have a young pitcher on the mound. You need a solid presence. I mean, the Braves have seen the leadership of Travis d'Arnaud with young pitchers over the last few years.
Sure.
So same thing with the center position. You need that big, tough guy that's going to, you know, get the rest of the offensive line in line and then also, you know, communicate.
Carson, I think, is going to come out swinging. Last year, he kind of, you know, I know he's done the plays for years, but it's kind of new. I think he's going to be ready this year. I think the offensive line will be good if they can figure out the center. Only thing that's got me nervous about Georgia's defense. But I think they'll get it figured out.
Man, as long as
Kirby's
there.
When you got
there,
Kirby Smart in Athens, right? It gives you you can put your head on your pillow at night and feel pretty good about the defense. You got great coaching staff. But I'm like you. I think Carson comes out ready to play. My only concern, and I don't want to get on a soapbox about NIL, but my only concern is you see a lot of these guys and they get their fancy Lamborghinis. And how focused has he been? I hope. Right, the reports are saying, oh, he's as focused as ever been. But I also see on social media, you know, you're driving your Lamborghini, you got your new social media girlfriend, you got all this stuff going on. Is he? I hope that Kirby has him ready.
His leadership scares me.
I hope he proves us wrong.
Well, I'll say this. Kirby Smart is a master motivator.
Sure.
Last year in the Orange Bowl, Florida State versus Georgia Tech, both teams incredibly disappointed after championship weekend and on Selection Sunday. Right?
Right.
Both teams had the opportunity to just fold it up. One of them did. The other one didn't. Kirby did a better job. He found a way to motivate those guys to go out and get their, what was it, their 50th win?
Right.
Whereas, so guys that have NFL futures, guys that gain nothing from playing in that Orange Bowl besides a 50th win, and they all show up and show out. Meanwhile, in Tallahassee, and I think Mike Norvell's a great coach, it went the complete opposite direction. The guys with NFL futures said, hey, we've already seen what happens if somebody gets hurt. Like, what if I break my leg?
Right.
And I go from a second round draft pick to a fifth. And instead of playing in the game, they opt out. Georgia probably wins anyway without Jordan Travis in the game. Would the game have been closer? Absolutely. But
top A football players like punishment. And Kirby will punish you at practice, I promise you.
What's the safety's name? Malachi?
Malachi Starks.
They respect it.
Did you see his quote this week?
I hadn't seen that one, huh?
He said something to the tune of, you bleed in practice.
Oh, yeah, I did see this.
So you don't bleed in battle or something like that?
Yeah, you talk about Bloody Tuesday. Georgia has Bloody Tuesday. It's supposed to be the hardest practice, you know, of the week. And, you know, a lot of those guys talk about, man, we practice so hard on Tuesday, the game is easy.
And that's what Florida State players used to say under Mickey Andrews, like when they took the field on Saturday. Yeah. All right, real quick, before we move on to our overrated, underrated segment, I want to ask y'all a question. I'm just going to pose this to you again. As a Florida State fan, I want to be very clear. When we went to Ireland, Georgia Tech was more prepared. They were more physical. They played a better football game, and they beat us in Ireland. There are several reasons for that. But just imagine a scenario where your favorite team, let's say it's Georgia or anybody else, travels to Ireland to play a football game against a what we're going to call a bowl eligible. Tech's probably going to be a bowl team, right?
Sure.
They're 6-7 wins probably, maybe more. All right. Without your offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. So if you recall, Alex Atkins, the offensive line coach and offensive coordinator, suspended for 3 games, including this Monday night versus Boston College.
Right.
And you're across the pond, your offensive line's getting whipped, there are communication issues galore. Like, how much should, I mean, is he worth a touchdown or more or less? How much is your average offensive coordinator and offensive line coach worth in that scenario?
He's certainly worth 3 points.
I ought to be worth a lot, much as they're getting paid.
That was my point earlier. Yes.
Yeah.
If the man ain't worth another touchdown or so,
right. Fire him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's no excuse. Florida State went over there and got whipped on defense too, and he don't coach the defensive line. So
long travel though, man. Yeah. You don't know how your horse is going to run when you load them up and take them that far. I don't care if you get there 2 weeks early. It's a different climate. It's a different elevation.
It's 60 degrees there. You know, 98 here.
It's totally different ball game.
Yeah.
Totally different atmosphere. You taking guys that might not have never left the state they lived in until they got to Florida, and then packed them up and took them all the way across the big pond to play football.
Like 80% of the guys didn't even have passports.
No.
You know, and now the same thing applies to Georgia Tech. Like they had the same issues.
Yeah, Georgia Tech attracts a little different football player too. I'm sure a lot of
That's
them probably has traveled.
That's a good point.
I've thought about all of that with them losing.
Yeah.
And I think Florida State's going to come back a new football team and probably won't lose too many more.
We'll see how the offense responds this week with him still being out, right?
Yep.
Still being out. But you saw where Florida State struggled, offensive line, defensive line.
Yep.
Certainly you have that, Coach Atkins missing the game is an important.
It's got to mean something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why is he on the payroll?
Yep.
That's right.
All right, let's move on. Overrated, underrated, all right? So I asked you guys to pick a few teams you think going into this season are overrated and underrated. Let's start with you, Brian. Who you got?
Overrated, USC, like normal.
Okay. Makes sense.
Everybody loves them. They don't ever perform.
Lost a number one draft pick, right?
Yeah.
Was he number one?
Yeah, number one draft pick.
Yeah.
For the Bears this next week, I guess.
There ain't much nothing coming out of California these days.
So. I hear that. Well, and they're playing LSU in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So it's a neutral site game, but as best I understand, Las Vegas is closer to California than it is Louisiana. But, I mean.
Cajuns travel.
What's LSU going to look like?
Well, it's so interesting enough. I was in Baton Rouge today. I came home from Baton Rouge today.
Just to do this?
No, not just. Well, I mean, you know, had to come home, see the kids, see the wife. You know.
Them too.
But yeah, Baton Rouge is ready for the Tiger, for the Trojans. I just I'm like you. USC's up there. They weren't the one I picked, but USC, until they can show me something on defense, I think that overrated until then.
All right. I got my Florida State Seminoles in the overrated category right now. I think 10 was a little high looking at how they gelled in week one. I'm not saying that they're not a top 10 team at the end of the season. They still could be. But going into the season, hindsight being what it is, going into the season, I thought they were a little bit disrespected because I'm thinking, you know, we have plenty of horses left in Tallahassee. You lost a lot of draft picks, but brought in some good ones too.
Would you have said overrated before last week, though? You have the benefit of...
No.
Okay,
no,
right.
No, I actually thought they were a little underrated.
Right, okay, you said that. Yeah. You have the Florida State...
Has the benefit of
has the benefit
back.
Of seeing what they did last week, and I certainly would have not had them overrated going into week zero.
Right, no, me neither.
And who knows? I mean, preseason polls are...
Sure.
They're a shot in the dark.
But where they help is if you start with, like, Furman... You know, East Appalachian State, you know, and then Vanderbilt. And if you start high and then you get off to a strong start, you stay high. And then when you lose to, you know, number four and you're number six, you don't drop far.
Right.
You know, all right. Who'd you have as overrated, Kyle?
Colorado.
Okay.
I think, it's all smoke. There's no substance behind it. I think, you know, a lot of it is, you know, obviously talented players. It's a transfer team. It's a team that's there to, I think, get the money, get the fame. Is Deion going to be there when the Sanders brothers are gone?
Nope.
Is the team, certainly the community seems to be bought in, excited about Prime, right? He says a lot of the right things to fire people up, at least his crowd. Just not sure that they're going to get it done on the field.
You know, sometimes the best players are the worst coaches, right? So a lot of times your best coaches are the guys that really had to understand the fundamentals and really had to be bought in and do film study in order to be a decent player. Now, for example, look at Nick Saban. Like, Nick Saban was not an elite athlete. He was, you know, big enough, but
greatest
of all time.
Leadership and metrics.
Right.
That's good college football.
Does Colorado have... The leadership. They brought in guys like Warren Sapp, NFL Hall of Famer.
Sure.
At defensive line.
Can develop the defensive
Can
line.
Can he coach defensive line?
Sure.
A lot of times, you know, I'm not a good teacher, right? So I'm just like, just do it like I do it. You know? Yep. And if I'm good at it and this other person actually needs to be technically taught, I'm not teaching that well. So,
right.
All right. So what about underrated?
Underrated Oklahoma.
Ooh. I like that.
I think Oklahoma, I spent a lot of time in Oklahoma. Oklahoma's big football state. Some tough cowboys, ranchers, money, oil money, to bring in good players. I think Oklahoma's going to end up upsetting some folks this year.
Okay. I like that. Brent Venables going into year three.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's right. I think Oklahoma's going to show out.
Okay. I like that one. What you got, Kyle?
Miami. Miami, Cam Ward transfers in from Washington. Was it Washington State? Where was he?
I don't know.
Wherever he was. Cam Ward comes in. I think he was one of the ones that was leaning NFL, then he was leaning this way. And maybe think Florida State may have been the conversation a little while. Yep. And I think he said, I'm going to NFL. And then Miami comes in with a sweet NIL deal. But I think he's an elite talent at quarterback, elite athlete. They also brought in a running back from Oregon State, I believe. Only two remaining Pac-12 teams, or Pac-2, whatever you want to call it now, brought in a running back from there. A few other good receiver transfers.
And they've recruited well.
They've recruited well on defense. They've got, I think his name's Williams, plays safety for them.
Mm-hmm.
Was a top-rated safety several years ago, come out of high school. So they've got a good core of can Cristobal get it done?
Yeah, is he Cristobal, the game day coach?
Is Cristobal the guy that can get it done? That may be what holds him back. Mm-hmm. Certainly has the SEC pedigree, comes out, you know, the Nick Saban school of hard knocks a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how that goes.
I've got
that's my team. Miami's my sleeper team. Get Florida out of the gate. and we'll see how that goes.
I, as a Florida State fan, don't like saying it, but I've got Miami in my underrated category as well for the same reasons you just listed. I've also got Clemson in the underrated category because I think people are, rightfully so, very critical of the job Dabo's done the last couple of years and how stubborn he's been. They still recruit well for Clemson. Like, they recruit their system guys.
Sure.
They've never recruited well on the offensive line. And if you go back and look at, like, I don't even know if they've had an offensive lineman drafted under Dabo Swinney. But they score lots of points when they have
Matt
the quarterback.
Matt Luke, great offensive line coach there at Clemson. Was at Georgia. Former head coach at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
O-line coach at Ole Miss during with Hugh Freeze's days there. I think he took over for Hugh Freeze after the scandal there. But so great offensive line coach. Certainly have the pieces in place to do it. We'll see what happens.
All right. Let's go to upset alert. Kyle.
Upset alert. I've talked about Florida State and how they're going to bounce back. But I do think that Boston College is going to be a scary game.
Yep.
If Florida State responds well, then I think it's a no-brainer Florida State. But if they don't respond, right, you have the transfer mentality and they don't respond to Norvell the way he hopes they would respond, you could lick your wounds a little bit. Little jet lag coming back from across the pond. That's a team... That's a game I'd watch, right? It's a Monday night. It's a weird time. Florida State's only get some extra days to recover. But I'm watching Florida State, Boston College, Bill O'Brien, just the dynamic with all that. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But that's one. Yeah, I think upset alert is a team that can get scared. Not necessarily upset, but, I mean, it's a team that can get
I've got them on my list as well. Florida State's a 16.5-point favorite.
Right.
I think Florida State can win the game. I think Florida State can make the improvements and the changes that you were talking about, Brian, and win the game, say, 31-17, maybe with a last-second touchdown or something to really ice it and put it away. And at this point, they haven't covered. Their offense hasn't looked great. Maybe they skate through and win the game. But I'll tell you somebody else I've got on upset alert. Penn State. Opens the season Saturday at noon, same time Georgia and Clemson are playing, at West Virginia.
Hmm.
Now, Penn State, preseason top 10, perennial Big Ten number 3. Do they go to Morgantown and take care of business? That's a tough place to play. Now, like, if you compare rosters, Penn State's going to walk away with it. But if you compared rosters in Dublin...
Yeah.
Florida State should have done the same.
Yeah, I heard today the Pat McAfee show is in West Virginia. That's where he played. Yeah. Closed school tomorrow because the kids can't get it through campus because of where they have the show set up. Closed school on Friday.
Pat McAfee shut down the campus.
He's a big personality, and he's a West Virginia guy, so they're excited about it.
All right, let's do a little bit of a preview of your team. Tell us something about... Kyle, we'll start with you. Tell us something about the Georgia Bulldogs that a fan of another team wouldn't know.
Sure. There's a player I'm looking at. This might be on the fringe of that. Nate Frazier, running back, freshman running back, highly rated. Got some injuries in the running back room there in Athens. He's going to get more touches than he would have gotten otherwise. I look for a breakout game in the running game for him. It's going to happen late. I think they use some of the other guys to wear down that front seven of Clemson, and then you have Nate Frazier break out late. Also interested to see how the new corners respond in Athens, right? You've got Everett on one side, but who's going to come out on the other side of that, and can they hold up? I think that, you know, with Clemson's receiving core, there's no big names, right? But they'll be well-coached, and so we'll see how those corners respond. But Nate Frazier is the name I'm looking for to have a big week, and he might be a bit of a breakout guy early in the season for Georgia with some injuries coming in that running back room.
Brian, give us a preview. What are you looking for on Saturday?
I'm interested to see, since we lost Brock Bowers.
Okay.
How we're going. That's some big shoes to fill.
Bowers and McConkie.
McConkie. The guys filling them shoes has got a lot to fill.
Yeah.
And what they brought to the table is when we're about to take a nosebleed, they just pulled balls out there. And
so you think about Auburn last year, right? Brock Bowers and Carson Beck took over that fourth quarter.
Yep.
And different ball game. And when Brock Bowers wasn't in the game, how Georgia struggled later on in the year, you know, against Alabama when he was injured. McConkey also injured that week.
I think we'll have some good replacements in those positions.
Big transfer from Stanford.
Yeah. But week one. So how do they play together?
How they're going to play together, and, you know, that's big shoes to fill.
Yeah. You will not have a Brock Bowers on the field because Brock Bowers is Brock Bowers.
And he plays for the Raiders now, right? He'll be in black, but it'll be with silver.
But you know, you may have a guy that's a quality tight end that has three catches for 30 yards that could be the difference maker. He's probably not going to take an end around, what was it, 70 yards 70 or whatever yards, it was last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's those two spots. I'm interested to see how we've got some really young people on defense. I'm interested to see how they step up. And then we've got, what's the running back that's a freshman?
Frazier.
Yeah.
I've heard he's going to bring the fire.
Now, so at the running back position, I don't know that it's been announced as to whether or not Etienne's suspended mark, or not.
I'm leaning towards he probably is.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get into this at all, but with all the noise in Athens off the field, I think Kirby has to set a public message.
Mm.
These driving things matter, right? You can say they're, you know, some charges got dropped or whatever. A lot of that stuff's like pretrial intervention, and it happens everywhere. Right. But I think that this is a time publicly that Kirby can, I mean, you're talking 12 noon, top 15 matchup, you know, number one team in the country. He has a chance starting running back, transfer, biggest name you'll have. You know, would have been a cool story with Etienne playing against his brother's former team. Kirby has a chance to say, hey, we're going to nip this in the bud. I'm strong against traffic violations, strong against reckless driving. And unfortunately for ETN, I think he'll get
plenty of carries starting week two.
He'll get carries then, but I think he is going to be. So giving us the chance to play a Nate Frazier, right? You have an injured Roderick Robinson. He's not going to play. They've already said that.
That was your two.
Yeah, right. Roderick Robinson was going to be two, and so he's not going to be there. Branson Robinson coming back off of an ACL injury. Obviously, good reports out of the offseason, but
how does
he hold up in a game? So it'll be interesting.
I think for my team, Florida State, we've got to see some improvement on the defensive line and specifically at linebacker. Like when your starting linebacker had seven tackles in the game, right? Mm-hmm. One of your starting linebackers has seven tackles. Your other starting linebacker that played the second most snaps on defense had zero tackles. Brian Wynn, if a linebacker plays a whole game with zero tackles, is he eating crayons?
No, he's not eating crayons.
I mean, your leading tackler is a safety. That ain't good.
That's never good.
Georgia struggled some, I don't know the stats, but with getting in, you know, sacks in the backfield last year. I think they were in the 40s.
Okay.
I remember at the end of the season. So that makes me a little nervous. I mean, when you're that high of a ranked team, you should be crushing quarterbacks, man. So, you know, does it matter? You know, you would rather get a pick, force him to get a pick and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
But you're still stopping the ball and they're losing yards.
But you want your linebackers making plays, to your point, right? Yep. You want those guys that are supposed to be the quarterback of your offenses, right? Or quarterback of your defenses, making those plays, setting the tone, and not letting that play get to the safety if you can avoid it.
I think of linebacker, I'm thinking of Luke Kuechly. Like, right. He's making 17 tackles a game or something,
sure.
And, you know, especially against a running team. So Florida State has got to find a solution. At the other, they only typically play two linebackers. They do more of like a nickel defense. So it's normally four down, two linebackers, and then, you know, five in the secondary. So, or however many that adds up to. But you get my point. Like, you need a second linebacker. And then also, you need DJ Lundy to play better than he did. I mean,
right.
Real quick, I mean, at the end of that game, it's 3rd and 18. Tech is out of field goal range. They have time to run one more play. And they run a little screen, a wide receiver screen, and DJ Lundy comes flying in there out of control, misses the tackle. The guy gets 13 yards instead of three.
Gives him just what he needs to make the field goal, right?
Gets him in field goal. You need better linebacker play in Tallahassee.
You make that play, maybe they punt, maybe you're playing for...
Maybe they miss it, whatever.
Yeah, maybe you're playing for overtime at that point, and it's a different game when you're playing from the 25-yard line in. So
a lot of it's film, too. When I play defense and... if I would know, you know, how they set up, where I needed to be on the field.
You were a step ahead because you had done your homework.
And if you hadn't done your homework, hours and hours of film the week of, it didn't just practice.
Well, so maybe that's what they need, a bigger TV in town.
They got to spend some time watching film.
All right, let's move ahead to, I think we got time. Let's go ahead and look at, I've got three big games that I want us to talk about real quick. We've talked a little bit about Georgia versus Clemson. Let's talk about the Florida versus Miami game. As a Florida State fan, I hope they both lose. You know, Henry, my little boy, said, are we going to watch the game? And I said, yeah. And he said, why? Who are we going to pull for? And I said, well, that's a good point, buddy. I don't know. What do you think we'll see in Gainesville? That's the 3:30 game, Florida versus Miami.
I hope Miami crushes them.
Okay.
That's just a personal opinion.
I don't know. Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. My dad's a real good friend of the Napier family.
Okay.
Grew up, he coached a lot with Billy Napier's dad. He's a late high school coach, passed away several years ago. I'd like to see Billy hang around just at my heartstrings, but also dog fan. I'm like you. I'd like the Gators to go ahead and take one on the chin.
Okay.
And certainly people are not picking them to have a great year. I
want to hear from those Miami fans, though, if they go to Gainesville. And
it's kind of like the Georgia fan doesn't want to hear those Tech fans, right? You're like, come on. Like, this is nice when they're quiet.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice when they're not riled up a little bit. Just keep them down there.
I can deal with gold chains a lot better than I can jean shorts.
All right.
That's why I look at them, too.
That's the land of the gold chains.
Gold
there.
Chains of Miami and jean shorts at Florida.
Remember the turnover chain when Mark Richt was there?
Yeah.
It was like the most opposite thing Mark Richt would ever do in his life. But I think that just proved Mark Richt was a good enough coach. He could adapt.
He could adapt to that, right?
Yeah.
We ought to have a segment later in the year about all the different turnover, you know, because Prime has the throne and like the fur coat. Like there's a lot of crazy stuff going on these days.
Let's talk about Notre Dame versus Texas A&M. This is a top 10 team in Notre Dame, preseason top 10.
Number 7.
Going to College Station, right?
Right.
Playing a preseason top 20 team that hasn't done anything since 2020.
Sure.
And even that, do we know if it counts? So what do you think about that game?
New coach in Aggie Land.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. He came from Duke. Duke's a little different than. Mm-hmm.
He was the defensive coordinator under Fisher, though, at Texas A&M when they were actually okay.
Right. He knows what it's about, but it's different when you're the one making those calls.
I think Notre Dame's going to stump them.
Think so?
I think
Marcus
so.
Freeman there in year 3.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame's one of those teams that reminds me a lot. I mean, I don't know if LSU is any different than Notre Dame these days. Like, you know, preseason, highly ranked, recruits pretty well, never really gets over the hump.
Right.
And doesn't always show up in the biggest games.
No. Texas is home to really good football. So, it'd be, you know, I don't know. I think Notre Dame's going to...
I'm hoping as a Florida State fan that other top 10 teams lose. So it's not quite so bad. So like Penn State and Notre Dame, you know, you can kind of tell with my picks.
I don't know enough about Texas A&M team.
I know they had the world's best recruiting class in 2022, and half of them are gone
now. Yeah. Half of them are at Ole Miss, I think.
Yeah. One in particular from South Georgia, I think he made his way to several different locations, and I don't know where he is now. So
yeah, I don't know if he's even still playing ball.
I don't think so. All right, let's move from that into our top 12. Now, I structured my top 12 to be what I think the end of the season will look like.
Sure.
So after college championship games, so who gets the bid as the conference champ and then who's at large. And one thing I want to say, and I previewed this when we started the show, I think Georgia will benefit the most from a 12-team playoff this year. Because of their schedule. And here's what I mean by that. Georgia may be your one seed as the SEC champ with two losses.
Could.
Like, they could be a team that loses two regular season games, turns around and avenges one of those losses to a top five team in the SEC championship game, and then jumps an undefeated, you know, Oregon or somebody like that from the Big Ten because of the number of big wins Georgia could have over the course of the season, especially they have more opportunities to redeem themselves. And this year, if it was a four-team playoff and you're a two-loss SEC champ, you might get shut out.
Yeah. It's the potential rematches are going to be interesting. You mentioned it earlier. It's hard to beat somebody twice. I posed this to some friends earlier. You know, everybody's picking the Texas-Georgia game is one of the bigger, mm-hmm. you know, marquee matchups of the year across the country, regardless of conference. As a Georgia fan, nobody's predicted this year to go undefeated, I don't think.
It's almost impossible to do it in major college football.
Right. Yeah. So, but my question to these guys was, would you rather lose that regular season game to Texas going into a rematch in the playoff, or do you win that game and you're the team that doesn't need the revenge necessarily, but you kind of have, I got a little swagger, I beat these guys before. Who do you want to be in that game? I don't know.
I think Georgia's going to go all the way, undefeated.
Okay. They could.
If they do lose, it'll be to Texas. I was just mulling over it, but if they've meshed up like I hope they've had over, you know, and I think Kirby and Bobo's got them tuned up, I think they're going to come out swinging.
All right.
I think they're mad from last year.
You guys got your top 12 there?
Got them.
All right, Brian, why don't you go first?
We're going the bottom down to 1, 12
yeah,
to 1?
Let's
or
start
one
at 12. Let's
okay.
start
All right, at 12. I got LSU.
Okay.
FSU. Mm. Michigan. Notre Dame. Oregon. Oklahoma. Mississippi State. Penn State. Alabama. Texas. Ohio. Georgia.
Okay. I think you might have too much credit in Tallahassee, but I'm with you. I would certainly take an at-large bid in the playoff this year. That means they've done well the rest of the way. So
I think they're going to do well.
Okay. All right, Kyle, what you got?
All right, 12. I've got NC State as a sleeper in the Ooh. ACC.
Okay.
11, I've got Michigan. They've got a game against, like I mentioned, they've got a game against
Texas week two.
So that's there. This was the last week.
Okay.
Had Florida State at 10.
Okay.
Maybe that's still going to hang in there. We'll see. Had Oklahoma, to your point earlier, at 9. At 8, Ole Miss, taking a loss to Georgia this year. I think that's an interesting game, but I think Georgia takes the. And they may lose again somewhere in the year. So Ole Miss at 8, 7. I've got another SEC team, Missouri. I think we got a scary team in Missouri. Did lose their coordinator on defense, but we'll see how that goes. Alabama at 6. Notre Dame I've got at 5. I think they're going to surprise some folks this year. Ohio State at 4. Texas at 3. Oregon at 2. And the Dogs number 1.
By my count, is that 6 SEC teams?
Yes, it is. It is 6. I think it's because of the scheduling in the SEC is strong.
Yeah.
Right? It's really it's 6 SEC, 2 ACC. Notre Dame's independent. And then.
To your Notre Dame point, they may be.
They're playing some ACC schools.
Florida State plays them this year. Yeah, they have a scheduling agreement, even though they're not in the conference.
Right.
But here's the thing about Notre Dame. Any other year, let's say Notre Dame goes undefeated and beats Texas A&M, beats Florida State, beats the other ACC teams. I think they also play USC and maybe any other year, they might be the one seed. But because they're not in a conference, they can't be 1 through 4.
4, yep. And I had him at 5.
Yeah, so if... And rightfully so, because even if they go undefeated, they don't play the extra game that those conference champions would. So if Georgia goes 12-0 and then plays in the SEC championship game, that's their 13th game. If Notre Dame goes 12-0 and does not have a conference championship game to play in, they've played one less game, which is one less potential for law or one more potential
for loss. Right, best they can be is 5. One thing neither one of us mentioned, you know, this year there's the what's the highest ranked
Group of five
team is going to be in there. We named the top 12 teams at the end of the year, right? The top 12 didn't necessarily get in. If the highest ranked group of five is 15, they're going to take that 12th spot.
They're going to take NC State spot. Say
NC State. Who is that going to be this year? Mm. That's always hard to pick.
Well, here's my 12. All right. I'm going to start with 12. This team plays Florida State too, by the way.
Okay.
Memphis.
All right.
So this is Mike Norvell's former team. Memphis had a great year last year. They're probably going to win their conference, going to be in the conversation again. It's one of the highest ranked group of five teams. I think they're your 12. I think they could potentially have a win. I want you to think about that as if you're a Florida State fan. You might end up playing three or four teams that are going to make
in the playoff. Yeah.
All right. So we got Memphis. I've got Notre Dame at 11. I've got them in there. Let's say they lose one or two along the way, but they're Notre Dame and you get them in the playoff. So I got them at 11. I got Clemson as the ACC runner up at 10.
Okay.
I've got Ole Miss at number 9. At number 8, I've got Alabama. I'm not sold on that right now because I want to see what Kalen DeBoer does.
I think I have him at 8 too.
At 7, I've got Utah as your Big 12 runner up.
Okay.
At 6, I've got Oregon as your Big 10 runner up.
Okay.
A lot of runner-ups, I think, are going to be 5 through 8.
Yeah, yeah.
At 5, I've got SEC number 2, Texas. Okay. I've got Texas as the runner-up in the SEC coming in at number 5, maybe even with one loss behind a potential 2-loss SEC champ.
Yeah.
At number 4, my Big 12 champ is Oklahoma State. Whether or not that comes true, I have no idea. Admittedly, don't know whether or not Oklahoma State's going to be any good or not, but I know they're ranked up there, and so is Utah, so I just picked Oklahoma State. At number 3, my current ACC champ, I've got Miami. I got Miami beating Clemson in the ACC championship game and getting that auto bid. At number 2, your Big Ten champ, Ohio State, defeating Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. And then at number 1, I've got Georgia as the SEC champ. And like I said before, don't be surprised if Georgia is not a 1 or 2-loss SEC champ and get that one seed.
I got one team that I think is not going to be the team they've been.
Okay.
That's Alabama.
I'm with you on that.
I think Alabama's new coach, he's bringing in new stuff. They got new players. I don't think they're going to be the Alabama we've watched in the past. I think they lost their
– They lost the man.
They lost the man. They've lost their flavor. I think Alabama's going to lose – Three to four games this year.
One thing about Alabama, I think they you know, as a Georgia fan, Alabama scares you always. But they lost the man, and he's worth how many losses is Nick Saban worth or
right.
wins
yep.
right or points so whatever you want to call it. How much is he worth? But they have a good core of leadership back. Jalen Milroe being the number one. I don't know that his leadership. You saw it through the year last year going into the game against Georgia,
mm-hmm.
right? They were 10-point dogs in that game, maybe, I think, and they mm-hmm. come out winning. He's not going to let that standard slip. I think we'll see the erosion start in 2024. What's going to happen in 25, 26, 27? That's where I think when you lose the guys who had that connection back to Saban, were recruited by Saban.
Do they buy in
do
when
they
things
buy
don't go
that?
Well?
Right. Who transfers from Bama after the year's over?
Well, so I've heard Auburn fans call him Alabama's version of Brian Harsin. So he's not from around here.
Right.
He doesn't connect to these guys down in the
sure.
South.
Man, he don't drink sweet tea.
Yeah, right. Like, what has he done down here in the South to prove that he can walk into a living room
yeah.
and yeah. get that 5-star guy away
from
Kirby Smart?
He has the resume as far as the wins goes. You know, wins at Fresno State, does that translate to a win in the SEC? Some people say good coaches are good coaches no matter where you put them. And there's some truth to that. But Brian Harsin was a good coach at Ole Miss, at Boise State.
Yeah,
and
who
is it?
You got to have a hard nosed coach to.
So we'll
coach
see how it head goes.
Headhunters, Alabama, Georgia, all these SEC schools.
Yeah.
So you think maybe Kalen DeBoer might be a little bit too finesse?
Yeah, you got to treat these boys bad, man.
Yeah.
I mean, not bad. But you got to be hard on them.
Well, I mean, famously, Nick Saban, you know, yelling
yes.
at practice.
I mean,
everybody's terrified of him.
If you ain't got a couple fights every week at practice, you ain't practicing.
Well,
hard.
And you know, and it is the guys that what's practice like in Tuscaloosa right now?
Right.
Is the standard what it was when? Sure, they're practicing hard, right? Everybody's practicing hard.
Yep.
I think they are. Is the DeBoer holding them to the standard they're used to and preparing them the way they were? I don't know. We'll see,
fellas. We've made it a whole hour. I told you it wouldn't take long. You get to talking football, and next
yeah.
thing you know, you've made it. This has been episode 1 of the 2024 edition of the Southern Football Report. Just a couple of dudes talking football. This is available for download. You can take it with you on your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever the podcast app is that you use. It's available for download to take it with you. You can hear it on the Flint Media family of radio stations on Saturday mornings before toe meets leather each Saturday during football season. For Brian Wynn and Kyle Shaver, I'm Dustin Dowdy signing off on episode 1 of the Southern Football Report. Good Lord willing, we'll see y'all next week. Y'all stay tuned.